Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 6, Episode 20 of this Daily Study Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we continue with our study of this week's Come Follow Me materials, studying in the week of June the 3rd to June the 9th as we look at Mosiah 29 to Alma Chapter 4. Today we're going to move into the book of Alma Chapter 1 in particular as we study the account of what happens between Alma, and who is the son of Alma, and Nehor, who is teaching false doctrine. And I think what's interesting here is straight away in verse 3 we start learning about Nehor and his teachings. And I think that there are some warning flags quite quickly. It says, "And he gone about among the people, preaching to them that which he terms to be the word of God, bearing down against the church, declaring unto the people that every priest and teacher ought to become popular, and they ought not to labour with their hands, but that they ought to be supported by the people." Now, I find this interesting because straight away we think, well, isn't this kind of obvious that he's kind of trying to just put himself up on a pedestal and get gain from the teaching of what he terms to be the gospel? But I think what's interesting with this is that I imagine he'll have been approaching this in the way that, you know, these people are men of God. They should be listened to. They should be revered. And we find that this is obviously not something which, in terms of the gospel of Christ, is the way that we do things or is meant to be the way that any leaders or teachers within the church ought to behave. President Dallin H. Oakes said, quote, "Focusing on the needs of the students, a gospel teacher will never obscure their view of the master by standing in the way or by shadowing the lesson with self-promotion or self-interest. This means that a gospel teacher must never indulge in priestcrafts, which are that men preach and set themselves up for a light unto the world, that they may get gain and praise of the world. A gospel teacher does not preach to become popular or for the sake of riches and honour. He or she follows the marvellous Book of Mormon example, in which the preacher was no better than the hearer, neither was the teacher any better than the learner. Both always look to the master." Close quote. Now, again, this may sound quite obvious and a principle which, you know, we think, oh, well, yeah, obviously that's the case. We ought to be looking towards the Saviour as we teach within the church. But I think that sometimes we can easily slip into dangerous rhetoric or kind of approaches where it's perhaps not the way in which we ought to teach. For example, when we kind of cite and quote different research or evidences or things like that, which may sound quite impressive and quite convincing at an initial kind of sound of hearing it, I think that we need to make sure that we are always pointing back toward the Saviour. And this is why, you know, I think for sacrament meetings and for the second hour lessons in our church services, it is so wonderful that we are starting to really focus more toward the Saviour in everything we do. The new hymns, for example, that have just been released last week are another evidence of this. So Saviour and Christ focused, which I think is such an important, again, principle that we do. And that's not to say that we can't, you know, learn about things that aren't directly linked to the Saviour, but we need to make sure we always bring it back to the Saviour. And I think that is the key. We can learn about, I mean, just to pick anything out, we can learn about tithing, for example, within a sacrament meeting, as long as we make sure that the principle of tithing is brought back to the Saviour. We can speak about the influence of mothers, thinking about Mother's Day we had in March in the UK and in May in the US, but we need to make sure that we bring that focus on mothers back toward the Saviour and his example. We can talk about the pioneers. We can talk about church history. We can talk about certain commandments within the church. We can talk about family history. We can talk about many things within the gospel. And sometimes we get a bit lost, I think, within all the different principles and covenants and, well, not covenants, but, you know, principles and teachings within the church, perhaps, or structures of the church. We sometimes get a bit lost in that and forget to make sure we always turn it back toward the Saviour. So I think that that is an important aspect of this. In verse 4, Nehor continues explaining the teachings of Nehor, and it says, "And he also testified unto the people that all mankind should be saved at the last day, that they need not fear or tremble, that they might lift their heads and rejoice, for the Lord had created all men, and had also redeemed all men, and in the end all men should have eternal life." Elder Elton Perry said this, quote, "Nehor's words appealed to many of the people. They were easy words because they required neither obedience nor sacrifice. As we face many decisions in life, the easy and popular messages of the world will seem appealing. But when these worldly messages contradict gospel teachings and the still small voice of the Spirit, we can be 100% confident they are wrong. Still, it will take great courage to choose the right." Close quote. What I find interesting about this is that the words of Nehor, again, just like many false teachings or messages that try to lead us astray, there is elements of the truth within that. You know, the Lord has created all men. True. He has redeemed all men. I mean, this is where it gets a bit tricky, because technically, yes, the Saviour was going to, within the context of this scripture, the Saviour hadn't yet, but the Saviour was going to. And in our context, the Saviour has done the work to redeem all mankind. You know, he has done that. And actually, depending on what you term or define as salvation, salvation is there for all. You know, we will all be resurrected. We will all, aside from a select few who turn against the spirits of God, and willingly and knowingly bring down or seek to bring down the church, despite having known for a certainty the truth of it, all will receive a level of glory after this life, and eternal peace and glory to some degree. So to some degree, all will be redeemed, and all have been redeemed. But then comes the extra bit, just to kind of push a bit further and into that false doctrine area. And in the end, all men should have eternal life. Well, again, the definition of eternal life we understand of being in the presence of God and with the Father and connected and united with our families forever. No, not all men will receive that. Unless all men suddenly change their ways and turn to Christ at the moment and repent and make sure that they are seeking to live their covenants. No, that won't happen. But that's, again, what the danger of false teachings is, that very often they are intermingled with many true doctrines. But then there's some easier listening or easier hearing, which then takes us away from that. Nehor, in verse 6, begins to be lifted up in the pride of his heart and wears very costly apparel and began to establish a church after the manner of his preaching. So he starts to draw quite a significant following with him. But then a man withstands him, admonishing him with the words of God. And this is Gideon, who, of course, we remember from the story of King Noah, who stood against King Noah and sought to overthrow him just before the Lamanites attacked, and helped Limhi and his people escape bondage. And he is slain by Nehor. And it's at this point that Alma gets involved, because up to this point, teaching what he believes to be true is not necessarily a crime. However, when he is then murdered another person, then this is when the authority of the judges then comes into play, and Alma meets Nehor in his role as chief judge. So we'll conclude that tomorrow and move on to the other chapters that we have to study this week, which has a lot in them. So please do join us tomorrow as we continue, and until we meet again.